pushing the thoughts away.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, this is not good. We don't push the thoughts away. The thoughts are happening, this is just a symbol, it's happening here. Your gaze is here. When you find yourself involved, you don't look. You bring your gaze back into the silence. After a while, if people in this room only knew what kind of effect this meditation has if you learn it and do it, you would be flying right now, screaming of joy. I know because I've used it, and it's just good. So did you get what I said? So pushing it away, you are just making it come back faster. That's why I wanted your eyes open, half open. When you gaze at something, the point of concentration goes in it. So then I found myself getting involved a couple of times during that time. And I just stopped. I didn't take a conscious effort to stop. I just automatically did. And if you do that enough, we'll come back to that. How was it for you?
You know, there were some times that thoughts would come through, and uh-huh. I just kept looking at the light.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes they would just vanish. And then
yes.
Sometimes I acknowledged it, and I didn't want to, so I focused back on my light.
Okay, very good.
And then there were some times I just had to say, you know, I want to be still.
Okay.
So I said that.
Okay, don't
say it. So
it was
all three.
Yeah. The last one, I want to be still, let it go.
Okay.
That's mind telling the mind to do something, and then contradiction starts.
Yeah.
You see, the same one that says be silent, it will tell you, you know, to go here and there. So, again, that's why we practice, because it's very hard to get it the first few times. But once you got it and it's practice, it's freedom, freedom, freedom. It really, really is. I promise you that. How was it for you?
It was really good. I don't meditate with my eyes open,
uh-huh.
So it was kind of, I kept wanting to close my eyes because that's how I've meditated
uh-huh.
for years,
uh-huh.
but once I got beyond the fact that, oh, my eyes getting tired, then actually it was good.
Okay.
And the thoughts would come and,
uh-huh.
and go, but it didn't have any kind of impact
good.
On where I was
good.
At.
Yeah, the mind will think, but you are not of it. You see, when we say we're not of this world, what does it mean? The world is mental world anyway. So when we are not of it, means we are not involved with the mind. That's not being in the world but not of it. That's what it means. Ellie, John, how was it for you?
It was very good, but I was having difficulty keeping my eyes open, my habit was just to keep closing.
Now, can anybody say why I have the eyes half open? I know Richard knows. Anybody else? Because we are living. We are not in a cave. We have to learn to meditate with the eyes open. We all have meditated for years. It's high time we don't rely on the comfort of that cave and to be able to zoom outwardly and not be of it. So this is why this meditation, I can't even begin to tell you what this does when it's practiced. How was it for you, Lois?
It was good. I just put the thoughts out of my mind and concentrated on a gray slate. And then I just went immediately into a deep meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And then when a thought passed through my mind, it brought me back.
This is exactly why. We don't want to go into a state of meditation, Lois. Here is, we are conscious of here and now, and yet not of it. Do you see the difference? It's very easy to fall back into a deep meditation because it's our habit to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But to be here and now, and stay in the present, unwavering, is the purpose of this sitting.
But I meditated with my eyes open and was conscious of the room. I didn't look at the light because I had to turn my head to do that, but I looked across.
So are you conscious that your mind thinks, but you're not going with it, right?
No.
Okay. How about you, Richard?
I had a question in relationship to how open the eyes have to be. In other words, I can still see that not everything in this room, only around where I'm focused.
Absolutely. It has to be around where you're focused, and it has to be the sharpest consciously being present as you can ever get. This is not about closed eyes meditation. This is about being here and now, and yet not of it whatsoever.
The thoughts did show up, but then they would go away.
Because? Why would they go away?
I didn't converse with them or anything else.
You didn't look at it.
Right, I just stayed where I was.
So this practice, what it does is it gives us a method to do it in the midst of chaos. When I used it after God knows how many, long the time, a couple of nights ago, I was bombarded with very unpleasant stuff going on around me. I mean, very, very unpleasant. And it's not something that I could sit down and close my eyes and meditate. I choose not to do that. Because once I open my eyes, the whole scenario would be back again. Mm. So this is a training. If you have faith in it, it will work. That's it. It will work. How was it for you, Scott?
It was very chaotic. I almost wasn't here. I was still rushing here, thinking I was going to be late, so that momentum was still with
me. Okay, your second one will be better.
And I also had the thought, how do I hold my eyes so I'm not distracted by something? And I saw the woman in front of me move her foot, and I thought, I can't look there. But I didn't want to fight that.
Yeah. This is very, very good, because this is a beginner, do you understand? And after a while, you will be able to focus on a stream water, which is really running, and your eyes will not follow it.
Kind of goes through.
Yeah, because in order to purse the truth, you have to be extremely one-pointed. And that this is what's going to give it. So yes, it's true. You might say, so the best thing for you to do for the next one is to put a candle right in front of you and just with a half open, do it. And not care what happens, not care if it moves, just totally surrender to this silence. Look at me. This is our natural state that we're going back to.
Yeah, this I would like to do, if I can move this over here.
Don't set my feet on that.
Well, don't get your feet near the candle. and then those of us here don't have to, like Lois said, turn our head or our body to do this. And
yes.
I have had the experience you're talking about when I'm down at the Truckee River, stooped or perched on a rock, and my body is not in a stressed position, and I hear the water. Mm-hmm. I don't see the water. I can reach that pinpoint of concentration, but I prepared myself to go there. Tonight, I was not prepared.
That's okay.
So I'm still.
If you know how to do it, then you don't need my instruction. You know how to do it. How about you, Tony?
I think I got it.
Good. How about you, Hans?
Well, because it's a more convenient position, I thought I looked up, and I found that very difficult to keep the eyes open when it closed them, and then I started to look at this flame, then it worked better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's now do it again so we can have a little bit of proficiency in it. And after a while, just close your eyes and go into a meditation, the way you want to go into meditation. But let's do it one more time. Just sit comfortably. It's not like we're doing any type of effort. We're going back to our own nature. Just be. Everybody had meditation. How was it feeling? When we are not involved with our thoughts, then we are in a state of our being. When we are in this state of our being, we are one with God. When we don't follow the mind, we're not trying to become something. We're not trying to jump like a mad monkey. We're staying in the ground of our being. When we're staying in the ground of our being, we're actually living. And so, this is an art. And unless we are thirsty, as a fountain of water here, we would be reluctantly drinking from it. Unless we are absolutely starved of hunger, if we had a feast here, you would say, no, I'm full, thank you. So when we come here, we have to be thirsty and hungry to observe everything that is being said and everything that is being experienced. You can feed or force feed someone that is not hungry. So I would like to ask, how many of you look forward to coming here tonight? You're in the right place. Because unless we look forward and unless with all our heart we want to feed, then coming here there is no penetration whatsoever. This is a very, very single path, walkway. You cannot carry other people with you. You can do it to the gate of, you know, self-realization, but you can't enter it with somebody else. You can go in a group of religious, you can get in the gathering of religious and take friends and relatives with you. But once you decide to know yourself, the crowd stop at the gate. And I give you an example of something that my teachers gave this example. He said there was a king. He decided to give away his kingdom and just be together. I mean, he would be in the kingdom, but he gave his responsibility away. And he had a companion. This companion was very vigilant. He wanted to know why, where, and how. So he called him a fool. He said, you're a fool. So a few years later, he gets really sick, the king. He gets very sick. And he's about to die, so he asked his companion to come, and none of the doctors help him. He says, dear friend, I am going. I just want to say farewell with you to you. And the friend, of course, you know his character, says, where are you going? No, he says, are you going by foot? He says, yes. Oh, no, I have to build your chariot to go. And the king says, I can't take a chariot with me. He says, what about horses? He says, I can't take horses. He said, then I carry you on my back. He says, I can't take you there either. He said, where are you going?